When we reach the newspaper press, the opportunity for debate is so considerable that discontent cannot grow to the point where, under normal conditions, there is any disposition to regulate the press. But when newspapers abuse their power by injuring people who have no means of replying, a disposition to regulate the press appears. When we arrive at Congress, we find that, because the membership of the House is so large, full debate is impracticable. So there are restrictive rules. On the other hand, in the Senate, where the conditions of full debate exist, there is almost absolute freedom of speech. This shows us that the preservation and development of freedom of opinion are not only a matter of adhering to abstract legal rights, but also, and very urgently, a matter of organizing and arranging sufficient debate. Once we have a firm hold on the central principle, there are many practical conclusions to be drawn. We then realize that the defense of freedom of opinion consists primarily in perfecting the opportunity for an adequate give and take of opinion. It consists also in regulating the freedom of those revolutionists who cannot or will not permit or maintain debate when it does not suit their purposes. We must insist that free oratory is only the beginning of free speech. It is not the end, but a means to an end. The end is to find the truth. The practical justification of civil liberty is not that self-expression is one of the rights of man. It is that the examination of opinion is one of the necessities of man. For experience tells us that it is only when freedom of opinion becomes the compulsion to debate that the seed which our Father's planted has produced its fruit. When that is understood, freedom will be cherished not because it is a vent for our opinions, but because it is the surest method of correcting them.